Okay, let's see. Okay, there's a sefer called Mishchas Shemen. Stop. Just relax, okay? There's a sefer called... Finish this before I start. Okay, the sefer Mishchas Shemen, Rav Chaim Shol Kaufman. Rav Chaim Shol Kaufman was born in Berlin in the late 1930s and came to London. Eventually became a big Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Gateshead. He passed away in 2005. He was very, very makusher to Litvish Rebbes and to Hasidish Rebbes. So he tells about the following story that he had with the Shatzer Rebbe. Shatzer Rebbe was also a Rebbe who came to, he was a Romanian Rebbe who came to London right before World War II. And the conversation that he had with him, he wants to use to explain the pasuk that describes the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Okay, but before we even, you know, ask the question, just go to the third line where he shares the conversation that he had. Because I think let's learn the conversation first, and then we'll come back to the question. Okay, so he says many years ago, the line that begins Shanim Rabot. He says Shemati Lifnei Shanim Rabot. Many years ago, I heard from a Shalom Ishatz, Shatzer Rebbe. I don't know if it has sheiches to Shatzer Matzah for those who have Shatzer Matzah. I don't know. His name was Shalom Maskevitz, I think. So Rav Shalom Mishatz, he said, when I was a young... Now, just to give context, right? Rav Shalom Mishatz, the Shatzer Rebbe, passed away in 1958. This conversation probably took part in the early part of the 1950s. And we said that Rav Chaim Kaufman was born in 1938. So he was probably like a teenager. He was probably late teens when he asked the Shatzer Rebbe this question. So in the 1950s, Shebe'ez she'eschilu umas ha'olam... Lidaber al chaloma, lishloach b'nei adam in hayishuv liareach. The conversation got serious in the 1950s about the possibility of sending a person, when the nations of the world began to dream about sending a person from Earth to the moon. Harbe shanim shelifnei she'achein hitzlichu lasos kein. This was many years before it actually happened. But there was a lot of conversation, there was talk about the possibility. Hayinyan zeh nosei medubar mod. This was a very hot topic. Everyone's wondering, like, you know, is this possible? Could such a thing actually be? So the Rebbe heard about it, and I asked the Shatzer Rebbe, I said, what do you think about this? You know, is that from a Torah perspective, what do you think about the possibility of man walking on the moon? So he said, he presented this to the Rebbe, and he said, the Rebbe said to him, when he heard about this, he said, this dream is never going to hagshim. It'll never become substantive. It'll never take place. It can't be. Without los l'sham, it's not possible. The mefurish pasuk is not possible. What pasuk? Hashemayim shemayim la'Hashem. V'haaretz nasan livnei adam. Boker tov and Daniel. Right? Shemayim shemayim la'Hashem. V'haaretz nasan livnei adam. So you can't. Man will never go on the moon. It's Hashem's tchum. It's Hashem's domain. Shemayim, Shemayim, LaHashem, Baaretz, Asan, Levnei Adam. V'i'ef shel anshei ha'aretz. It's not possible for people from this world to undergo a transformation of the boundaries. L'shno sidrei bereishis, v'alos l'mal. It's not possible. It can't be. That's what the Shatzer Rebbe told them. Absolutely not. There's no way a man will ever walk on the moon. No, ever. What happened? Kennedy was very excited about it in the 1960s, right? Became president for short period of time. And July 1969, Americans were walking, Neil Armstrong was walking on the moon. So Chaim Kaufman said, I gotta figure out what to make sense of what the Shatzer Rebbe told me. Not to say that rabbis are infallible, rabbis make mistakes also. But he felt, no, we have to go back to the pasuk and figure out. Because Shatzer Rebbe was so adamant, it's not possible for a person to go on the moon. Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, Va'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. It's two different domains. So he says, "V'shanim rabos," in the second paragraph, "V'shanim rabos la'achar mikin." So many years later, "Kasher ha'metzios haisha she'etzlichu ha'umos l'shager b'nei adam l'chalal ha'yireh." When man was able to enter the atmosphere and even to walk on the moon, so I needed to ask. I had to figure out what to make of what the Rebbe from Shatz told me. "Pegashti pam achas es yedidi me'oz," I was zoicha to run into my friend of old, the Biala Rebbe Shlita. I asked the Bi'al Rebbe, "V'izkarti lo ma'amaro shel ha'Rebbe mishatz atzal." And I said, what am I supposed to make? The Shatzer Rebbe told me when I was a young man, he said, it's not possible. David Melech said, it's impossible. ושאלתי איך יסביר דבר ואתה כאשר המציאס מוכיחה שהם עולם לשם. You know, there were people, right? You know, for all the conspiracy theories that it never really happened. It took place in a Hollywood movie theater, you know, in a Hollywood theater, right? It was all a big production, pretending to be on the moon. Bialy Rebbe didn't say that. Bialy Rebbe.
Which Rebbe is
it? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He said it's his friend, so it could be us. Could be. So he said, I don't know, you know. So the Rebbe didn't say, no, the whole thing's fake. It's not true, right? Conspiracy theory, no. Rabbi said, let me tell you how to read the pasuk. Va'on nali sha'anu ro'im sheka'asher ha'anashim olim l'sham heim ne'alotzim l'kachas imam es kol tzarche chiyusa mizeh ha'olam. When man leaves this world to go to that world, so to speak, right? When he enters into that environment, so it's incumbent upon a person to take with him kol tzarche chiyusa mizeh ha'olam, everything that he needs from this world. Meaning it's not like man can just go into that environment and continue to be his regular self. You need to bring oxygen along. You need to bring a spacesuit along. You need to bring the means to survive in that atmosphere. In other words, you're essentially taking the earth with you into that space. Right? You may be on the moon, but you're still an earthling. You're still dependent upon the things of this world. V'afilu avir l'neshima ein lehem sham. Right? Even air to breathe you don't have there. They needed everything. They needed to bring their environment with them. They needed to take from here. Because it's impossible to live there. And in truth, again, it remains Hashamayim, Shamayim, LaHashem. Right? You're not able to really enter that space without reminding yourself that I'm a person of the Aretz. So I'm living on the moon. Yeah, but you're living an earthly existence on the moon. You're not really on the moon. You're not a moonling, you're still an earthling. Is that what it's called, a moonling? What would you call it? What would you call it in your writings? A moon person? What would you...
It's called Luna, sometimes.
Luna?
Luna.
A person who...
Oh, no, the moon is called Luna.
Oh, the moon is called Luna, yeah, sure.
Referred to, so I guess a lunian.
A loony? A loony. A lunar. Yeah. Being. A loon. Okay. Alright. So you're still an earthling. You're just a guest. Right? But it's not, you can't claim this as your environment. This is not your natural domain. It's impossible for a person who's living in Shemayim, which is the domain of Hashem, to call this is my place, this is my dira, this is my makom kavua. I have to bring my environment with me from this world to that world. Now, says Rav Chaim Kaufman, say from Mishchas Shemen, he says, "Ulamedim anu bezeh," in the bottom paragraph, "Yisod chashuv." This is a really important thing, and you'll see why this is exceptionally relevant to Bnei Yeshiva, who are also in college. But it's life. This is life. Ulamedim anu bezeh yisor chashuv lahavana. Shahamakum shemisham shoy va'adim chiyuso. Zehu nikra mekomo. The place where you draw your life force from, the place that you're dependent upon, that's called what? That's called your makum. That's called your place. That's your true place. Uvemakum sheinu yachol lechayos, ein zeh mekomo. Ah, you take a fish out of the water. Right? So it's not going to die instantly, but it's not its place. It's out of its environment. It can't survive like that. It needs to be in its place. Right? That's the famous mashal of Rabbi Akiva. You want me to stop learning Torah? If I keep learning Torah, so maybe they'll execute me for learning Torah. But if I stop learning Torah, for sure I'm dead, because that means I'm leaving my place of existence. So a person's place is defined by the place where he lives naturally. Uvemakom she'eino yachol lechayos ein zeh mekomo. So what does this mean to us in Avodas Hashem? It's such an important yisod. Shekasher ha'adam shoiv chiyuso mimakom shel kedusha. So you have to ask yourself, of course everyone goes to a lot of different places in life. That's part of being a human being. It's expected. It's incumbent upon us. We're not living in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's cave. Even Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who thought the ideal was to stay forever in the cave, Hashem yells at him, what are you talking about? I don't know how to engage with the world. That's reality. That's how Hashem made life. But where am I rooted? Where do I draw my chiyus from? Right? Of course I have to do a lot of different things, but where's my main place? Where do I draw my air from? What's my natural environment? So a person who's showing chiyuso mimakom shel kedusha, kamo ben Torah hanimta rov yomo ben kosle beis medrash, like a person who sees, he identifies as a ben yeshiva. Yes, I also take college classes. Yes, I also do my laundry. Yes, I also, I don't know, do whatever else I do. I go to the gym to play basketball. I call my parents. I check my stock. So I don't know, whatever I do. You know, I work on getting a summer internship. Go on a date with my girlfriend. I don't know, whatever it is that you do. Right? But if I see myself as primarily I'm a ben yeshiva, if I define myself that way, if I'm willing to give myself that label, that holy label, so when he understands that, when he accepts that that's his main place, yes, of course he says two lines from the bottom. L'chein af im lefalim hu muchrach letzeis la'asakav. Of course, yes, life demands we do a lot of different things. Harei she'eino misnatek mimekor chayuso. But he doesn't misnatek, right? Lav hanitak la'asei. He doesn't remove, he doesn't detach himself from the place of his existence. U'lechol makom shaholech matzmid es ha'avir ha'kedushei lav. And he always attaches himself to that rarefied and that purified air of the Beis Medrash. He takes that with him. He takes it wherever he goes. So now let's go back to the top and let's see the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Let's ask the question now. Okay, now that we got this interesting story from Rav Chaim Kaufman, a young Chaim Kaufman talking to the Shatzer Rebbe, and then the people landed on the moon and he had to reassess how to understand the Pasuk, and the Be'al Rebbe gave him such a beautiful perspective of what it means, Shemayim, Shemayim, LaHashem, V'Aretz, LaSan, Livnei Adam. So now let's go back to the question. And it's a strong question. It's a question that if you're paying attention to the structure of Pesukim, it should bother you and should be noticeable. What does the Pasuk say? Vayihi, top of the page. Vayihi, Esav, Ish Yodea, Tzayid, Ish Sadeh, V'Yakov, Ish Tam, Yoshev, Oalem. What is the lack of literary parallelism in this Pasuk? What doesn't line up nicely? He Esav Ish Yodea Tzayid Ish Sadeh V'Yakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ol. Yeah.
Firstly, the for Esav it says first about what he's doing, and then what type of person he is.
Okay.
And Yaakov it says who he is, and then
where he is. Okay. Kovi.
And also, it says for Esav that is Ish. Ish twice.
Right.
For Yehuda Yitzid and then he's just that, but Yaakov is an Ish Tam who's.
Exactly, he's Yoshev Olam. Yeah. Right, it jumps out at you. Right, he says, Yesh Lahayr. She'etzel Esav Nemar Ish Yehuda Yitzid, Ish Sadeh Shnei Pamim Ish. Why does it say Ish twice by Esav? Ve'etzel Yaakov Nemarak Pam Achas Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. It could have said Ish Tam Ish Yoshev Olam. There's all sorts of clever and interesting answers to this question. But I think if we want to talk really a Yesodistic answer, I think it's this piece from the Sefer Mishchas Shemen. An Ish Yodei Tzayid, Ish Sadeh versus an Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. What's the difference between Yaakov and Esav? Let's turn the page. Uvarayon Zeh Muvan. With this insight of the Be'al Rebbe, now we understand. She'etzel Yaakov Avinu Nemar V'Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. It's in the plural. Yoshev Olam means that Yaakov also. See, we sometimes picture Yaakov as like, you know, he didn't do anything. Yaakov was a businessman. Yaakov was a shepherd. Yaakov was a scholar. He was Yoshev Olam, as the Mefarshim point out. He was in many tents. He learned in a lot of different places. Right? He was a person. He was also, maybe the Beis Medrash was his mainstay. Right? But he also was in a lot of places. So it would be reasonable to say he was an Ish, like Esav. He's an Ish Yodei Tzayid, he's an Ish Sadeh. But by Yaakov, it only says the word Ish once. Klomar shuhu haye Yoshev Oalim, sofon kol yomo bein kosle beis hamedrash. Whatever that meant in the world of Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu defined himself, right, as a singular Ish. As opposed to Esav, who was always adapting to his environment. It's such a big Yesod, You talk one way when you're talking to your parents. You talk one way when you're talking to your friends. And you talk one way when you're talking to your Rebbe. You talk another way when you're talking to the guy who's interviewing you for the internship. Right? You change your style, your language, your intonation. You're trying to, you know?
Tocha Kabara,
Rebbe. Tocha Kabara, that's right. What does it mean to be Tocha Kabara? What does it mean to be a, a wholesome person through. That's what ish. What is the word? How do you translate ishtam? Yaakov ishtam. It's a simple person. Tam's not a simpleton like the Haggadah, the Tam of the Pesach Seder. It was also not such a simpleton, according to many tzaddikim. How would you translate ishtam? He's a full person. He's a wholesome person, right? He's an Adam Shalim. Unkelish translates Tam, ishtam, as Gevir Shalim. Gevar Shalim, either Gevar or Gevir Shalim. Gevar, a person who's shalim, who's complete, a wholesome person. And a wholesome person means that what? It means there's a certain singularity to my life. So yes, on the one hand, Yaakov is defined as like the Torah scholar par excellence, and yet at the same time, obviously, Yaakov Avinu, we see him engaging in a lot of different things. He did some serious shepherding for 20 years of his life. I know that didn't happen yet. But even in this stage, when he's at Ishtam Yoshev Olim, he's a wholesome person in the sense that what? He's the same ish. There's a certain singularity to his personality that permeates everything and anything he does and everywhere he goes. Umachmas mitzia zu hayiv a meshech kol hayom ish echad. He was one person. Shebein biyosho beis hamedrash ubein beis halchul berachovos kiriya. Whether he's walking in the streets of the city, whether he was a man in the Beis Medrash, Haya Yoshev Olim. He understood that my place, right, I'm rooted in my Torah values. And that doesn't get compromised by the office environment that I'm working in. It doesn't get compromised by who I'm hanging out with. Again, a confidence to know who he is. Aval, Eitzel Esav, Nemar, Ish Yodei Atzayid, Ish Sadeh. By Esav, it was two different mitzios, he says. It was two different realities. Haitzelo mitzios shel Ish Yodei Atzayid. When he was by his father, what does Rashi say on Isha Deyatzayin? When he's by his father, look at source number 4. Yodeyatzayin, Letzud Ula Ramo says, Aviv Bepiv Vashoa Lo Abba. He would trick his father and deceive his father with his deceptive speech. He would say, Dad, Heich Ma'asu Nasamelech Vesateven. How do you take Maisros from salt, from straw? There's not even a Chiyuv Darabanan to take Maisr from salt or straw. He's pretending to be so from Kasavra Aviv Shumedakte Pemitzos. Wanted his father to believe. So when he was in the presence of his father, was the God of the door, right? So he would dress the part, he would talk the part, he would act like a big tzaddik. But then at the same time, he would walk out of his father's presence and he was a totally different Ish Sadeh. In the field, he was a different person. This is real stuff, Chaver. This is a hard Indian. This is a really hard Indian. Because we all play, you know. We play different roles. And again, sometimes it feels like it's appropriate to adapt to the role. I think we've mentioned in the past the question that I think is such a powerful insight. Right? We eat Pas Yisrael during the Aseres Me'etshuva. That's the fakest thing in the world. You're not makbid on Pas Yisrael. All of a sudden during the Aseres Me'etshuva, Shulchan Aruch says, you should be, even a person who eats Pas Palter all year round, right, should be careful to make sure that it doesn't just say, OU on the box, it's OU Pas Yisrael. Get Pas Yisrael products. Why? Because you're kissing up to Hashem because you know your life's on the line. So everyone says, isn't that fake? Isn't that pretend? You're not planning on, it's not like, oh, this year I'm going to start keeping Chol Yisrael and Pas Yisrael and I'm going to start, you know, doing this and that. No, you know you're doing this for 10 days to get a good, deal on Yom Kippur and then you're going back to your regular ways. So isn't that fake? A lot of tzaddikim ask this question. So one answer I think is very compelling is that no, it's not fake. That's what's called upon in that environment. In other words, are you fake if you wear a shorts and t-shirt when you're playing basketball and you wear a suit when you go to a wedding? Like, who's the real you? If you're a shorts and t-shirt kind of guy, so wear it to a wedding. No, that's what the environment calls for. It's a formal affair and there's an appropriate way to dress. Right? What I sleep in at night, my pajamas, is not going to be the same thing that I go to work in. Does that mean I'm fake? I mean, I'm not being, I'm not, who are you? Who are you for real? Actually, I saw a guy on Shabbos. He was walking around in like a sweatshirt. And he said to me, he's like, yeah, my friend looks like I look like a homeless person. I was like, no, I think I said, you're just, you do you. Like, that's like his, that's his style. All right, so it's something very, what?
God forbid,
yeah. Oh, there's a certain confidence to be able to just, I dress how I dress wherever I go and I talk. Right. Obviously, again, the insight of Pas Yisrael is that there are times where we're supposed to step it up. Are we supposed to stretch a little more, to respond. So that's the idea, right? The idea is that during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo, when Hashem is so close, if you have a chashuv person coming to your home, so you act a little bit different. That's appropriate and normal. But again, there's a danger of being this Esav type of personality where I'm one type of person in one environment and I'm a totally different person in a different environment. That's a sad and scary thing, yeah.
I think it's also, I don't know if we're going to talk about this later, but sure. Maybe the point of having these like little moments where you are, let's just say, more attuned with like what's proper, like right. Whatever, or that type of thing, is then it's supposed to make a mark on you for the rest of it. So even though you're going, so to speak, back to what you were doing before, you're still changed. Whereas it seems that Esav like really just completely reverted.
Right, because even when he was doing the frum part, it wasn't because he was saying, well, let me get a taste of that, even if I'm not ready to adopt it fully. Right, it was a total charade.
Right,
the whole thing was fake. Yeah, that's a good point. Right, a taste of kedusha can be, you know, slightly transformative, even if it's not lasting, and it's worth. Right, we shouldn't say if I'm not gonna do this mitzvah forever, so I shouldn't do it now. No, you should do it now. It'll have a little bit of a hashpa on you. Yeah. So that's the vart. That's the vart. Shemayim Shemayim Lashem Varis and Sonda Deyadam. That's what it means. Ish Sub was a Yodeya Tzayed Ish Sadeh. Ish Yodeya Tzayed Ish Sadeh. You adapt to the environment. Well, Yaakov was a wholesome person. He was an Ish Tam Yoshiva. Okay? Now, let's talk about what animal Esav is compared to. This is a very interesting insight. What animal is Esav associated with? Say the pig. Right, the Chazir. Chazir, where do we find that in our Parsha? So Rashi says, on the Pasuk in source number 2, Vayhi Esav ben Arba'im Shana, Esav turned 40, and all of a sudden he's looking for a Shidduch. Vayikach Ishas Yehudis. Right, interesting, Esav's wife's name was Yehudis. Very Jewish name. Bas Be'eri Hachiti, Vez Basmas Bas Elon Hachiti. Esav takes two wives. Why did he decide to get married all of a sudden at the age of 40? So Rashi comments, this is part of the deception of Esav. Esav hayanimshu lechazir. In source number 3, Esav is compared to a pig. Shenemar, yicharsemena chazir miyar. Like a pig from the wild that devours. Yicharsemena is lashon of like consuming or devouring. Hachazir hazek kishuhu shochev. What is the nature of the pig? When the pig lies down, it's poshet telafav. It extends. It's rolling around in the mud and it extends its hooves. Loma ru'usha ani tahor. Look how pure I am. Look how holy I am. That's so interesting. Is Chazir of the same gematria as tahor? No. No.
It's off by one.
No, Chazir is how much? Chazir is 225 and tahor is 220. Tahora. I don't know. Kach elu goizlim v'chomsum v'marim atzam k'sherim. So too the nature of Esav and his descendants is that what? Is that they steal and they rob and they take it to chomes, they take it to chamas, they take advantage of people, and then they present themselves as being very righteous. The world of Amalek, which is the descendants of Esav, which one could say, one could make the case that the Germans, Yimach Shemam, right, were the heirs to that throne. So on the one hand, they were very proper people. Sometimes the most sick and twisted ways. A sense of fine character. And at the same time, to brutally murder 6 million Jews. So the goizlim v'choymsum v'marim asam k'sherim. Like the pig, who's not a kosher animal, which extends its hooves as if to say, look how kosher I am. By the way, the pig got kosher hooves, some of the tzaddikim say, some of the Svarim HaKadoshim say, because when Yaakov grabbed on to Esav, just the touch of the tzaddik of Yaakov, gave him the kosher hooves, so to speak. But similarly, why did Esav get married at 40? He says, Rashi, Kol mem shana hay Esav tzad nashim mitachas baleinu manosam. For 40 years, Esav would take advantage of women, married women, he would seduce them, and he would rape them, and he did all sorts of horrible things to take advantage of mamish married women. All of a sudden, he turns 40, and he says, oh, Taka, my father Yitzchak got married at 40, I should probably also find a shidduch. Amar Abba ben Mem Shana Nasa Isha, Afani came, now I'm going to get married. What a phony. You've been busy with women against their will for 40 years. And now all of a sudden, oh, like my father. What do you mean? Like, you're nothing like your father. But that's the chazir. That's the chazir that presents itself, at least partially, as a kosher animal, when in fact it's not a kosher animal. So this is the famous Midrash. That Esav, that the world of Edom is compared to a chazir. But however, what other animal is Esav compared to? And it's very subtle. It's very subtle. It's less well known. It's not as obvious. There's another animal, actually, that Esav is compared to. It's alluded to as being compared to in our parsha. You don't know?
Camel?
The camel. Why a camel? Why a camel? Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, source number 5. Esav says to Yaakov, Haliteini na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, ki oyev anochi al kein karashim al edom. Esav says, well, I pour the hot red soup, that red substance down my throat, because I'm so hungry. And therefore he's called Edom, after what happened with the incident with the red soup. Haliteinina, interesting lashon, haliteinina. What does haliteinina mean? Literally, pour it down my throat. Pour it down my throat. First of all, it's very hot. It's probably going to hurt. But Rashi makes an interesting reference here. Rashi says, Eftach pi, open my mouth, ushvoch harbe lesocha, Kemosh shaninu, like we find where Maseches Shabbos, ein ofsin es hagamal, aval mal'itin oso. You're not allowed to force feed, not allowed to stuff food into the camel's throat, which is one of the ways that you could feed and fatten up a camel. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, but you're allowed to what? You're allowed to pour it down its throat. So apparently Rashi is making a connection to the way that Esav is eating is the way that a camel eats. That's very interesting. But Esav is like a camel. Why is a camel so interesting? Why is a camel interesting? Because a camel, right, is sort of the opposite of the pig. The camel doesn't have split hooves, but the camel is always chewing. The camel is chewing and chewing and chewing. The camel's also got one kosher sign. So it's very, very interesting. Esav, on the one hand, is like a pig. He has the kosher sign of the split hooves, but the pig doesn't chew its cud. On the other hand, he's sort of like a camel, which what? Which chews its cud, but doesn't have the split hooves. It's interesting. Camels, you'll notice, they're always sitting on their feet. And when they sit down, they're hiding their feet. Yeah. They're hiding their sign that they're not kosher. And they're extending their neck as they're busy, you know, chomping away, as if to say, look how kosher I am. Just like Esav the pig is extending his hooves. Look how kosher I am. Look how kosher I am. It's also interesting. I point out, I think it's a chazal, I think it's a medrash, that when it says that Rivka first meets Yitzchak, right, and she's riding on a camel, and the pasuk says, "But tipol me'ala gamal," which Rashi says it means she like bowed on the camel. But tipol sounds like she fell off the camel. What was she so startled by? She saw Yitzchak, she got so startled. It was big tzaddik. Just the hadras panim of Yitzchak, you know, the presence of a big tzaddik. You're overwhelmed. But I think Chazal say that that when she saw Yitzchak, right, she had like this spiritual awakening, and she fell from the camel. What do you mean she fell from the camel? She realized the camel has one kosher sign and one not kosher sign. And when she saw her beloved husband-to-be, Yitzchak, she said to herself, I now realize that I'm going to have one kosher child, like the camel. I'm going to have one kosher child, I'm going to have Yaakov. I'm going to have one not kosher child. I'm going to have an Esav. And that because of that, she became startled, and she felt somehow, Ruach HaKodesh, subconsciously, whatever it was, she sensed that my life is going to be somewhat like this camel that I'm, you know, that I'm riding upon. She had some type of spiritual awakening just by seeing her holy husband. So what's so interesting is if you put these two pieces together, what emerges? Esav, in a certain sense, has both kosher signs. When we talk about Esav, he could have been one of the Avos. Right? The Tzaddikim say Esav could have been the fourth of the Avos. By the way, who becomes sort of that fourth, you know, wheel of the Merkava? Who's the fourth leg of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne? Who's the fourth wheel of God's chariot? David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech was also Admoni. He's also red. He has some of the midos of Esav, but he learns how to direct them in the right way. So Esav, you have the pieces. You're just what? You're out of sync. You've got the kosher sign of the pig, but you have the kosher sign of the camel. You're an ish yodei tzayid, ish sadeh. You're not able to line up the pieces of your life. If you could put the pieces together, then you'd be one of the avos. Unfortunately, because it's all theoretical, it all kind of, these possibilities remain in the theoretical, in the realm of machshava, in the realm of possibility. So your head's going to make it into Maras HaMachpelah. Because on the level of head, and the level of possibility of thoughts, you're kind of like one of the Avos. But your body's not going to make it in. Esav's head, right? No, Esav's head is in Maras HaMachpelah, but not his body. So he's not able to it's so interesting to think that he has, again, he's got all the pieces, so to speak, but unlike Yaakov, who's that singular Ish, even though he's also Yoshev Olam, Esav's not able to pull together the pieces of his life. The shtickle, like the camel, is a little bit like the pig. And by the way, the world of the camel and the pig, maybe we'll come back to it as we get closer to Hanukkah. I've been working on this camel shear for Hanukkah for a number of years now. And I want it one day I'll have enough information to give it. Yeah? Yeah. No, because the world of Esav and the world of Yavan, right? Yavan and Edom, besides being Golios that are side by side, Yavan is the third exile of Jewish history. Edom is the fourth exile of Jewish history. And Yavan really evolved into Edom. Golis Yavan never really ended. The hashpa of the, you know, Greek culture and philosophy really evolved into the Western culture of Edom, of Rome, of Christianity. So in a certain sense, there's like this ongoing partnership, which makes sense that if somehow Yavan is the world of the camel, which maybe we'll talk about, we are closer to Hanukkah, so Edom is really primarily the world of the pig. And again, there's some type of strange merger that exists between the world of Yavan and the world of Edom. Okay, but let's go to just one more thought. And again, I know some of you have heard this or seen this before, but it's Kedai. Let's go through it again. Because there's more than just the famous line that Rav Huttner said. Rav Huttner wrote a letter. Rav Huttner passed away, Yitzhak Huttner, passed away in 1980. This letter's from the year Tav Shin Yud Dalet. So what year would that be? What do you think? We've been learning the Eish Kodesh is Tav Shin, Tav Shin Aleph, Tav Shin Beis, right?
56-ish.
So it would be, that's right. That's correct. 54-ish. Yud Dalet. Right, so this goes back to somewhere around 1954. Rav Huttner is writing to a student who was a Ben Yeshiva, a very famous and important letter, and he's writing to this Talmud who's now, he writes to him, he says, I got your letter after you returned to Chutz La'aretz, and I got your letter and I'm very impressed. He said, I'm very impressed by your letter. First of all, the way that you write is very beautiful. The way you present present yourself is very beautiful. And more than that, the fact that you're concerned by what you're writing to me about, I'm happy that you're thinking about that, right? I mean, not only are you presenting it in a mature way, but just the fact that this is on your mind is very meaningful to me. What exactly did he write to him? So if you look to about five or six lines in, the line that begins, Be'inyan, he says, HaRoshem HaKlali HaMiskabu Midvarecha. The main point that you've clearly made, again, is a sent him a long letter. We're not sure exactly what that letter was. We only have Rav Huttner's response. This is letter number 94 in the letters of the Pachad Yitzchak. So he says, the main point of your letter, because you've come to the simple conclusion that what? Ki secular career, he double life. The fact that now you're working, and you took a job, and a year ago you were learning three siddurim a day, you feel like, I don't know who I really am. Am I a base measures guy? What's the essence of... I still say kiheim chayenu baruch hameinu in my davening, but I don't know how does my 9 to 5 reflect that, or my 9 to whatever I get home. So Rav Huttner says, first of all, let me say the following: lemoisar, it's almost excessive for me to even mention this, but lemoisar lahagid lecha ki meolam lo hayisi maskim bishum ofen le double life. I don't need to. It's obvious that I would never support a person living a double life, right? If you're really living a double life, Rav Huttner says, I'm going to give you a lot of mussar because I don't, God forbid, a person should live a double life. It's an ace of life. I'm not, but I have to say to you, what is the definition of a double life? Mi shesoicher lo cheder babayis lechayos bo chayi toishav. If a person rents an apartment, a house, buys himself a house to live, so to speak, his main life, visocher lo od cheder b'malon, but he also takes a room in a hotel, l'cheyos bo chaye orech, to live like a what? Like a visitor. B'vadei sheyesh lo double life. If a person is living one life at home and another life in some shady motel, obviously that's a problem. Aval mi she'socher lo dira bas shnei chadarim. But if a person, it's such a beautiful mashal, if a person has a house with many rooms, if I have a dira, if I have an apartment, I have a house, I have a bayis that's made up of different rooms, Yeshlo broad life, not double life. So interesting there, but they're like, he was so poetic, and he's such a good commander of the Hebrew language. Like, so funny that he decided to write these words in English. Because it couldn't capture it, right? That's called a broad life. That's not called a double life. The fact that what? That you have a kitchen? Oh, and you also have a bedroom? Oh, and you also have a living room? Oh, you also have a dining room? Oh, look at you. Look how... you're like Esav. You're in the world of Pirud. Look how divided you are. No. Right? That's part of all one wholesome existence within a bias. Somehow they're able to work in sync. And then he writes the following. It's so beautiful. Look what he writes here. He says, I remember that one time I went to visit Pam Yerushalayim Bebeis HaCholim Shel Dr. Valach. I went to Dr. Moshe Wallach. Dr. Moshe Wallach was, I think, obviously a from doctor and one of the founders of Shaar Tzedek Hospital. So he says, one time I met Dr. Wallach, Shlita. And I saw how Dr. Moshe Wallach, every time someone was about to enter into the cheder nituach, into the surgery room, for a very important procedure, shalo al shem imo, he would stop the person and say, tell me, I need your name, I need your mother's name. I want to say a kapitel tehillim for you before you go into the surgery. So Rav Hundler says, when I saw this, I was so taken by that. He doesn't say who. I told this to one of the greatest personalities, one of the great tzaddikim in the Gedolim of Yerushalayim. And he said to me, wow, kama tzarech, how much does a person need liknos b'yehudizah, to be jealous of such a Jew? You know how special that is? To be a doctor who mamish at the moment he's about to perform the surgery is davening because he knows I'm just a kli sharis, I'm just a vessel, a service vessel, to allow Hashem to bring refuah to this person. So Rav Hundler writes to this Talmid, I love this line, Hagida nali emes, tell me the truth. He writes back, you think you're living a double life because what? Because you get up early in the morning, you go to Minyan, you learn Daf Yomi, then you're at your office, and then you go back to the Beis Medrash at night, and you're so you feel I'm so scattered. I'm like Esav. Ahuvi Chavivi, my beloved and dear friend, let me ask you. Ha'im amiras perek tehillim l'shlomo shachola al yedei harofei ha'omed la'asos hasanituach. Reciting a perek of tehillim for the well-being of the chola by the doctor himself who's going to perform the surgery, the procedure. Ha'im zehu double life? You really think that's a double life? Or maybe that's what? Maybe that's a really wholesome life. Maybe that's a person who's a real Eved Hashem that he's able to take, you know, the essence of his relationship with Hashem wherever he goes. He doesn't lose himself. Now I'm playing chosh of a doctor. What do you mean? I'm the same Eved Hashem. I'm as aware of Hashem's role in what's happening here as Hashem when I'm sitting in front of the Chumash. That's not a double life. Va'ata chavivi yakiri, chalila lecha miler osis atzmecha. God forbid to see yourself. Bere'i kaful shachayim kafulim. Don't see yourself as living a double life. Again, this is the yesod of the Mishchas Shemen. An ish yodei atzai and ish sada. That's esodik. To be two different people and to see yourself as two different people. And then Rav Hundler says a beautiful vart. Look what he writes. Kol hamarech be'echad marichin lo yama v'shnosav. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does Chazal tell us? What does the Gemara tell us? In Brachos, it says you're supposed to be Marech Be'echad. Daf Yud Gimel in Brachos, right? You're supposed to be Marech Be'echad. Elongate the Dalit. Contemplate deeply the Ches. Think about the word Echad. Be Marech Be'echad. Draw out the oneness. What does that mean? What does it mean to be Marech Be'echad? And what does the Gemara say? Person who's Marech Be'echad, Marech Lo Yama V'Shnosav. It's not just a segula, what you drag out the word so you have a long life. No. If you understand the oneness of your life, if you can tap into the oneness of your life, you'll have a full life. You'll have a rich life. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, there's a line in the biography. I just grabbed it as I was leaving the house this morning. One of the ideas that he heard from the Chazon Ish on his, you know, when as a youngish bachar to Eretz Yisrael. A godel is via kaikel, was gresser alts mer nemtus arayim. A godel is like a circle. Just as a larger circle encompasses a greater area within it, so too a greater godel can encompass more people within him. It's not about the hashpa of the godel being able to make room for other people. Right? But part of drawing that circle, as I heard this about to describe, is that a godel, the bigger a godel is, right? He's not bigger in a linear sense, or in a vertical sense. His godless is what? That he continues to widen, to broaden his life. Right? Not a double life, a broad life, not a double life. That's what it means to be a gadol, to expand your circle, to be marich be'echa, to make that one circle that much bigger. Adrabba, kol chayecha tzrichim liyos b'chinas marich be'echad. Echad. Echad. Everything has to be an echad. It's not a double. It's an echad. Tzar li ma'od alecha chavivi. Im nekuda zo na'alemes himeinechi. He says it really bothers me to think that you wouldn't see it this way. That's such a dangerous way to look at yourself. Hamon nekudos hamufuzaros. All of the many points of your life, the points of contact, the things that you do, if you stack them one on top of another, if you just make a pile of the different things that I do, so then it doesn't seem to connect necessarily. But if I put Hashem in the middle, that picture that the Gemara describes at the end of Maseches Tanis, of what? Of the tzaddikim lasid lavo making a circle, dancing around Hashem, pointing to Hashem in the middle, saying what? Saying what? What's the pasuk? What do they say? What's the pasuk? How's it go? Say Hashem kivinu lo, right? What? Say Hashem kivinu lo. Megila v'nesmecha b'shua so. Right. The point to Hashem, that Hashem sits in the middle, and the tzaddikim form a circle around him. The Baal Shem Tov was very machmir that when the Talmidim. I almost pointed this out in Shul Friday night because I've noticed recently, we dance every Friday night at the end of the Chadodi. But I noticed that people are the circle's not locked. There's gaps in the circle. Sometimes because someone's clapping, or sometimes someone's just walking by the person in front of him. Baal Shem Tov was very makbid that the Talmidim, when they would go in a circle, that they would hold on to each other. I just read this, one of the Svarim of the Baal Shem Tov, that it was very makbid that they would complete this, and that's this Yesod. There shouldn't be holes in the circle, right? That every member of the circle should be holding on. Or the famous Vart, one of our former Talmidim of our Shir, Yaakov Ferashi Shlita. Yaakov Ferashi's famous Vart about dancing in a circle. Is that when Jews hold hands in a circle, it's like a crown. It looks like a crown. Why? Because the hands, right, just like the points on the crown, so your hands form like the bottom part of the crown, and your body forms like the top of it, So, when we lock hands, it looks, it's a beautiful image. It's like, it makes a crown for Hashem. Let's say a crown of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And again, that's that Gemara at the end of Maseches Tanis. They're going to form the circle of Tzaddikim, and it's going to be like crowning Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Fender says, again, if you look at the dots in a linear fashion, so you're right, it seems scattered. But when you put the dots around that central point, so then that's called being Marech Be'echad. Zohi Chavivi Chovascha Bo'olamecha Lahamid B'merkaz Chayecha Esa Echad. Find that echad. Meditate on that echad. Identify that point that's the center of your existence. And he says, four lines from the end, "Mitzar ani ashalo hevantes kol ze arachsha." I'm really sorry you didn't know this until now. I'm sorry you didn't understand this on your own. Or I'm sorry I never taught this to you. Because it's a world of difference. A person who says, I'm not a different person just because I'm in different environments. There's a sense of oneness to my life. So he ends by saying, "Bitoch tzari hin lidanos chal lekaf schus," and he says, "Because I'm pained by the fact that you didn't understand this, or you didn't realize this, or I never taught this to you, or whatever it is, right? I'll be done lekaf schus. Kirak matzav ruach shel rega sham beficha." For a moment, you lost sight of this, but I'm sure you understand everything that I'm writing here. I'm sure this is something that should be a foundation of your life, and in that way, this idea will be a foundation for the Riboy Kvod Shemayim that you'll bring in the world. Hamaspal lahatzlachascha yitzchachutner. Aval declare. So my bracha to us, that we should live broad lives. We should really see, it's such an important way to look at things. Right? Is everything, are all the different parts of my life fighting for dominance or prominence? Do I catch myself adapting to my environment? I talk one way to my spouse, I talk one way to my friends, I talk one way to my parents, I talk one way to my Rebbe. Right? And is that me, again, is that Pasi Sral? Is that me responding appropriately to the environment? Or is that me being a faker like an Esau? So I give us a bracha. We should be zochet to be a wholesome person wherever we go. I'll just end. I remember when Rav Aaron, Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, passed away. So I remember one of his children said about him, one of the most amazing things about their father, and it's so obvious, and or had anything to really do with Rav Hanan. I saw him a few times, heard him speak maybe once or twice. But what they said, for children to say this about a parent is a very powerful thing. They said that our father was the same sincere person wherever he went. He was not different in his public persona as, you know, brilliant Rosh Yeshiva than he was in the home. I went to, my wife and I went last night to, our son just started the new school in Psyk and for first grade, so they had like a Malava Malka for first-time parents. So he's a very good speaker. And he said, you know, people often, you know, will do this. You know, a person will put all their energy into whatever they're doing during the day, and then they come home at the end of the day, you know, and they take out their frustrations on their children, criticize their children, but they're not as, you know. They sat all day smiling as they were closing deals in their office, but the second, you know, now they're amongst their family, so it's easier to pick on the people who are closest to you. And that's a terrible chisaron. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's children, they sat around, they said, our father, I'm telling you, it wasn't like when he was playing Rosh Yeshiva, you know, then he was like on his best behavior because everyone's watching. And then when he came home, like he was, you know, anyway, we wouldn't suspect that he became like a bad father, but like maybe he let down his guard a little bit. No, he was such a emistic Eved Hashem, so through and through, that wherever he went, that's who he was. He was so real. And I remember when I heard that and they said that, I was like, wow, that's such a madriga. Because we all adapt to our environments. You know? In the dating process. Right? A person is dating, so you're trying to impress, so you're acting a certain way. But a healthy marriage over the course of a lifetime, you should always be courting your spouse on a certain level. It's not like, oh, now like we got married, so now like we're, you know, now I can kind of reveal my true self, my grumpy, you know, cranky self. That sometimes I should always want to carry myself in a way that's, you know, that's desirable. It's a hard thing. It's not an easy thing. All right, we should be zochet to live a broad life. 120, I think. Yeah. Okay, Shkaya, have a great day. Thank you.
See you later.
The God looks like a circle. Yeah, 120.
Okay, how are you? Thank God, how are you? It's nice. How's the teas?
So, what do you say about it?